Episode 4 of the Velocity podcast. You are fresh from a holiday to Cyprus. So tell me about it, mate. I know you've already told me before we started recording, but that'd be weird to wait to actually tell me about your holiday on a podcast that no one listens to.
It would be a bit weird, right? Well, first of all, what do you think of my tan?
Right now, you've got a light on the top of your head, which is making you look like an egg, a very pale egg. So it didn't go down well, the tannage, did it?
Well, I'm so petrified when I go abroad. I put like factor 50 kids on to protect me. So petrified. I burnt the top of my head when I first started going bald, and it was horrendous. So put that on. But no, mate, it was amazing. Thanks. Really, really good. Beer in hand for the majority of the day. Lots of beautiful food. Great time with the kids, with the wife. And the best way to describe it when somebody asked me earlier was just like a big reset button. And I came back to work, Velocity, with yourself yesterday, and just felt, like I'd hit that big reset button, really ready to go again. And really enjoyed being back at work the last couple of days. So mission complete.
Nice. And what I was thinking, I had actually asked you this question really directly, but sometimes when you go on holiday and you have like a bit of headspace and a bit of time, and you're away from the day to day, away from the desk, and not as much time on the phone necessarily. Like, what did you get any kind of ideas, or what did you spend a lot of time thinking about in terms of the business, or like yourself and your development and Velocity? Like, what were you pondering on?
It was all about the podcast, really.
Big things coming for the podcast. It's why we're doing video for the first time today.
Do you know what it was, genuinely? I mean, I did a little bit of work with some leads that were going through while I was away, which was I enjoyed because it was like very relaxed.
You're just a chilled out entertainer, so it's just who you are, isn't it?
Sort out tomorrow. So I think what was really, really interesting was I didn't do a lot of future planning because I think we've been doing so much of that. I think what I did was a lot of reflecting. And I think we both say this all the time. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this, or whoever's listening to this, will possibly find this about themselves as well, that we're so fucking hard on ourselves. And we're always pushing ourselves and stretching ourselves to do the next thing, to be better. And whilst that's amazing, and I really like that about the way that we work, it's also exhausting, and it doesn't leave an awful lot of time for you to be kind of grateful about what you've done, and for you to be proud of yourself for what you've achieved. So I actually did a lot of sitting back and thinking and reflecting, and I actually looked over what we've created quite a lot, watching you run the webinars and checking in with stuff, and just thinking, Jesus, this is actually really good. And this is, changing the lives of personal trainers, which is why we set this up and why we wanted to do this thing. We're seeing personal trainers go from absolutely nothing to building, life-changing amounts of revenue. So I kind of just sat back and enjoyed the hard work that we've done so far, and actually gave myself a little bit of credit for once. So that was, I think, probably more valuable than any future planning could have been.
I bet loads of people, to be fair, jokes aside, those listening to this or watching this on socials can probably relate to, is not appreciating the hard work that you've done. And we're so guilty and drawn to the next thing, the thing that I'm not good enough yet at, or the thing that I don't yet do or don't yet have, as opposed to stopping and looking out the rear wing mirror and looking at what's happened previously. So I think there's a huge lesson. We're probably the world's worst at this. So you and I have to continuously remind each other to do it. But I think if you is striking that balance that will keep you from overwhelm, from resentment of what you do in your business, and actually like maintain your level of excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah, absolutely. It's this, I've heard this thing before, like it's called destination anxiety. And something I've suffered with in the past, which is this thought that happiness, or if I can just get to the next level, if I can just get to the next stage, like that's where happiness lies.
Yeah.
And actually, if you hold on to that for too long, you never find happiness, because you're always thinking it's at the next stage. And I know we've both been there previously. And so I think that, yeah, this holiday was a really good chance to go, actually, where I'm at right now is pretty cool, and I've worked really hard to get here, so I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty much it.
So here's the thing. While you were away, so you were doing your reflecting, drinking beer at lunchtime, like swimming from one bar to the next, just drinking cold lager. I was holding up the fort of Velocity. And the thing that I realized, my one kind of takeaway from the week was it wasn't as enjoyable without you here. And that's going to be really like sloppy for the podcast, but we did share that. And here's the point that, you know, we had this vision together. We had this ambition, this dream to build this thing together. And, you know, obviously practically speaking, we're both going to, what's all this, mate? You can't.
I think that's Trigger Happy TV.
it's probably sponsorships calling up to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, it's probably that, mate. It normally is.
Yeah, they're just calling up. They just saw episode 4's live. Let's get on the act. Anyway, you know, we had this ambition, we had this dream to build Velocity, and you know, practically, obviously, I want to look after it when you go away and make sure all of our clients are looked after, and you do the same for me. But I think it speaks to that same point again about the process and the reason why we will be successful and we will build the best mentorship program for personal trainers is because we just love it. And the process and journey of doing it is so much fun. It's more fun than it is work. And of course, there are times when we're frustrated. We have to work hard. We have to work long hours and we have to do some hard things. And that can be challenging. Actually, it's far outweighed by the laughs we have around here, and the excitement and the fun and the prospect of what we're doing and what it's going to do for us and our families and our lives is going to be epic. So that was kind of one realization that I had while you were away.
Yeah, that's really cool, and I totally agree. I had a stint where you were in Paris where I had to hold the fort myself. And yeah, there's this dramatic decline in the enjoyment factor. You still want to do the work and you do the work and you get it done, but it does take the edge off. And it speaks a lot to community as well. You know, even if you don't have a business partner, having a community that you can go to, lean in with, share things with, and go on that journey with is so important. I remember so many years as a personal trainer, eating my lunch in the car park outside the gym because I didn't want to be in the gym, but I had nobody else to kind of speak to or be around. And so I think it's a great thing for our guys in the program, you know, with the Facebook group and the workshops and the webinars that we run, that they all get that chance to speak and integrate the buddy groups that they're in as well. You know, that chance of community and being able to share ideas will really help with that loneliness of the journey that sometimes hits when you're building a business for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and it speaks as well that if you aren't enjoying the process, the actual process of building your business, that maybe it's the facility that you work in, or maybe it's the people that are there, or maybe you're not in a facility and that might be the problem, and you need to get in one. But if you don't find your week, your kind of the week that you're building and you're constructing right now enjoyable, I think it's probably worth considering that you need to change something. Whether it is change the people that you're hanging with, maybe it is change the facility, maybe it's change your model slightly, or maybe it's join a program like this, or you know, similar to this. And we are taking clients on. If you're listening to this now, you can get in touch. But you know, it changed something, because if it's not that enjoyable, and the kind of tough stuff and the way you feel, or the negative, the times when you feel really bad, largely outweighs the times when you're excited, motivated, inspired, and having fun, then I think you've got to think about changing something.
Yeah, I agree. It brings me to, I had a conversation earlier with one of our clients in Norway. We were talking about, he's now fully booked as a face-to-face coach, and we're he's put his prices up a couple of times. We've got a wait list, and we're now starting to branch out into a few other things. And he's a power lifter. And I've never seen the guy light up so much in the probably 8 to 10 months that we've been working together. When we started talking about the potential to set up a promotion and create a specific package designed for powerlifters. And it was like the level of excitement to get started on that project was huge. So yeah, I think that, you know, finding something that you love within the industry that you're in is super important, and will bring the best work out of you, whether that's finding a community, whether it's changing a specific task or getting a business partner to grow something with, whatever that is, it's definitely got to be there. It's got to be present. And yeah, I'm really glad that we've got that here. So you said you were obviously holding the fort for the last week. Did you get up to much else, or were you just up to your eyeballs with work at Velocity?
No, well, we're recording this podcast. It's a Friday. This is being recorded. Where are we now? The 29th of April, my dearest mother's birthday. Which means that it's only 9 days from Natalie's due date. So she's clearly, I'm here. She hasn't popped yet. So we've been doing a bit more prep, just getting things organised. Played a bit of squash, but otherwise that, just holding up the fort until you get home, my friend. That's all. But inside Velocity, you know, we're, if we reflect on what we've been teaching inside to our trainers and coaches at the moment, was that, like, the main theme of our training was called Start More Chats. And so basically, here's the premise that when you're growing your business, you should be having a lot of conversations with people. And those conversations may be taking place in your facility. They may be taking place on social media, via email, through WhatsApp, or could be in a coffee shop. So in person somewhere. And basically, what we said is that we have the know, like, trust of the six-stage ladder, and there's rapport building, there's trust building, things to get done. But there's a moment where we want to try and start a conversation. We want to start more conversations. And the whole training was about whatever platform I'm on, whatever my strategy based on my unique circumstances, what are the tactics that I've got to actually get talking to more people. And that was the kind of the introduction. That's the overall idea to the training we did last week.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. And I think like so many of our ideas, our coaching sessions, our workshops, the courses that we provide, they all kind of interlink with each other, don't they? So naturally, that kind of falls in line into the six-stage ladder that we coach on. And it's one of the big hurdles that we find, especially new trainers, really struggle with, is actually initiating conversation, knowing how to kick something off and get it started. And once you've done that, the rest of it kind of tends to naturally unfold, as long as you're aware of what you're trying to achieve through our six-stage ladder. And so that's one of the things I love about our coaching, is that we can kind of say, let's study this and implement this. And then the next logical step is to study this. And it all kind of pieces together and creates this lovely timeline in this particular instance, from cold lead through to paying client. But yeah, starting more chats is definitely a big hurdle for so many people. It's relatively simple, but I actually totally understand why people struggle with it.
But what's come up a lot as we've been talking about this conversation is one of the biggest problems that people are having is, or they don't realize it until we get into until we kind of unpack it, is that the reason why a trainer, a person, is not starting enough conversations that they know they have to in order to get enough leads to eventually get to become clients. The reason they're not doing enough is that they're thinking too far ahead in the process.
Yeah.
They're thinking about selling already before they've even actually got to know the individual. And this takes time to develop. And I realized that when I started realizing this, and I looked back on my own journey, I realized it took me a while to understand that it's possible to be thinking that, yeah, I know I need to start more conversations if I want more clients. And I have that idea, that belief, that truth in my head. But at the same breath, I'm also gonna start conversations without any further intention or expectation every day that I'm actively working. And whichever platform that I might be using, whether it's in person or online, I am gonna be starting conversations. And I won't have expectations, but I know I've got to do it to get clients. And there's a little bit of an oxymoron in there that you think you can't have one without the other. But it's really important to appreciate that, because that's why people don't get started, because they don't want to, they won't have PT, or they'll give themselves, they'll make assumptions, and they'll act as excuses and barriers as to why they don't talk to more people.
Yeah, and it's scary, right? If you're going out with the intention to sell, you feel like a car salesman. You feel you're pushing yourself onto someone. You're thinking, well, if they want PT, they'll come to me. And if you're of that mindset, then you're always going to be dealing with the low hanging fruit, and you might end up with maybe four or five clients tops. And that's where it stops. And I used this analogy earlier with somebody. I said, there's always my kids are basically going to a school disco today. It reminded me, it took me back to school discos as a kid with, don't know whether you wore the Kickers top, the Kickers shirts. I had a big, a luminous green Kickers shirt and I wore it to every single school.
Nice. Always the fashion icon, you mate.
I know, bringing it for the kids. There was this really good analogy when it comes to selling or when it comes to starting more chats, which is there was always that quiet kid at the disco that sat in the corner and had all the dance moves in his locker, all of them, the worm, everything.
Yeah, is that you?
Yeah. You've got the punchline. Someone had to go and get that kid and drag them up onto the dance floor and get them like kind of going with those first few moves, and then they were away. And it's a little bit like that with potential clients. There's so many people out there that want personal training, but like that shy person at the disco, they're going to sit there and they're going to wait, and they're never going to come forward onto the dance floor. You've got to go and get them, grab them by the hand and say, look, come on, go and make this, go and do the two-step.
Let's start with the two-step, simple.
And then we'll take it to the worm.
Exactly, we'll do it later.
Exactly. So yeah, so that was the analogy that I used earlier, and I think it landed quite well, which is...
And then we're going to slow dance at the end. Always at the end, though. You don't slow dance at the beginning.
Exactly. There you go. There's the process. So yeah, that's starting more chats, isn't it? You've got to go and get these people. And I'm astounded by it even now when we talk to personal trainers, you know, people that aren't, they don't come across like they want your help, but you ask one or two questions and all of a sudden they're like, can we book a call? I want to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
But you have to initiate that first conversation with no, exactly as you say, with no intention to sell. So it's easier for you to do because you can do it with a completely kind of organic, guilt-free mindset. And it's easier for them to receive. They want to reciprocate, and that's what we want. We want to start conversations and get something back.
And one thing I want to talk about in this subject before we, you know, end this session is lubing the tube.
Oh.
Yeah, we have realized recently how powerful lubing the tube is. And I'm just going to see how many times I can say that phrase because it's extremely enjoyable. But so can I ask you, because you've done a lot of lubrication over the last few months. I'd like for you to introduce what this means in respect of starting and getting conversations going.
All I'm thinking of is that the last episode we spoke about your sausage.
And now it's lube. There's a theme developing here, I think.
Lubing the tube. Yeah, so lubing the tube is about, like, lubrication obviously provides less friction, right? It allows things to glide and slide in whatever mechanism you choose. Thank you. I navigated that well there.
Yeah, you did pretty well, to be fair.
You need to do that with your conversations. So we need to make sure that we're saying things that allows the conversation to flow and allows the person that you're talking to very easily come back to you with something so that you can keep the conversation moving forward.
Yeah.
And understanding how to do that is incredibly powerful, both face-to-face and also online, if you're talking to people in DMs or PMs or wherever that might be. So yeah, we were kind of lacking that in our own service until relatively recently, and we found it to be really powerful for certain types of character that aren't overly forthcoming to be able to keep the conversation going. So it's little snippets, little words, little sentences, little things that you can say that are going to keep the flow of a conversation going and allow that person more time with you so that they can open up and give you the things and the information you need to then provide a solution to their problem and therefore talk about potentially working together.
Yeah, when we started coaching on this and we started adding it as part of our training to help trainers start more conversations and get them, generate more leads, it reminded me of something that I did as a trainer when I was building up my PT business back in the day.
Whoa. Go steady. We're talking about lubing the tube here, okay?
Lubing the tube. I was lubing the tube back in the day. And so what I used to do when I saw people in the gym or people came to my classes, I used to greet them like they were a mate that I hadn't seen in months.
Yeah, I love that.
Right. So that was how I thought, how I reflect on it now. So imagine, how would you feel walking into a gym if someone saw you, clocked you eye to eye, they big smile because you haven't seen your mate in a while, and you were like, Craig, great to see you again here. How you doing? Like that kind of level of excitement and enthusiasm just to see you walk into the gym. that undoubtedly will make that person smile, and it will make that person feel warm to them. And that's part of the principle of lubing the tube, because you're making that person warm to you and actually want to talk to you because you're being positive and enthusiastic. And we were talking in the, to one of our coaches the other day. She just moved into a new commercial facility, and we're helping her book, and she's booked something like 4 tasters in the first week with this very simple sequence that we kind of put together for her. And that was like what she was doing was so simple, it was crazy. She was going to look to make eye contact with people. She was smiling and she was saying hello enthusiastically. And then we had a couple of ways the conversation would go based on what the person responded and how they would be. But that was it. And she's booked like 4 tasters in a week. So, and you know, things would ensue, but we were focusing on lubing the tube. We were being honest. We're being genuine. We had a plan of action of where we were potentially going to go. And it's amazing how if you master the basics and you keep things simple, but you do it genuinely and enthusiastically, that, you know, you can achieve pretty cool things.
Yeah. And it's also about putting a little system behind that as well, isn't it? Yeah. So if we're expecting nothing in return, then we're not necessarily going to have to, or we're not going to try to push that opening conversation through to a sale or a consult or a taster in that moment. So what we need to do is say hello, be enthusiastic, make eye contact, let them get on with their workout. Yeah. And leave them alone. But we need to be able to take a note of that person, who they were, what they were wearing, anything that happened in that conversation. So the next time you see them and they walk in, you can pick up on where you left off and you can take it a level further through our 6-stage ladder. And the idea of this layering, something we call 3-stage conversations, is a beautiful way of being able to lube the tube, but also get them through that 6-stage ladder and not overly sell, but building that relationship. And it kind of, the right time just happens. The conversation develops and it gets to the point where somebody either inquires to you, or you know it's the right time to come at them with a promotion or some sort of way of showcasing what it is that you do to be able to help them. And sometimes that does organically happen in one conversation. Sometimes it doesn't. And our kind of general theme at Velocity is we want that to be something that's going on all the time, whether you're, you know, working as an online coach, virtual coach, boot camper, working outside, working in a private studio or in a commercial gym. You should always be starting more chats and having more conversations. And then there's going to be things that we bring in periodically, which are going to be more promotional based, which are going to give us a big influx of clients. And if we've got this drip feeding of clients coming in through the conversations that we're starting, and then these promotions that are coming in maybe once a quarter that are bringing in, you know, a big influx of people, then you have these two brilliant things that help and make your business much, much bigger over a period of, say, 6 to 9 months.
Mm. Yeah, so nice. So I think if we perhaps wrap up our podcast today, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a fact to share.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a problem. So,
do you?
I do have a fact, and I'm going to...
Okay, I'll tell you what, you share your fact and I'll look one up now.
Yeah, go for it. Okay, so my fact, and this is based on me getting told off by my wife for driving too fast, coming home from the airport. It's quite late at night, got a new car, quite enjoying the fast lane in the motorway. But she reminded me we had 2 beautiful children in the back, and she was absolutely right, so I slowed down. But this is a fact that astounded me. The first ever speeding fine given was for somebody that was doing 8 miles an hour. And that's all I got. That's the first.
There's no context behind that. Like,
no more context. No.
8 miles an hour.
8 miles an hour was the first ever speeding fine. So anybody listening, if you can open up and give us more context on that, I'd love to hear it. But yeah, there we go.
I wonder what that was. It must have been a 5 mile an hour thing.
I wonder whether it was someone on like a pimped up electric wheelchair or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, 8 miles an hour for a parking fine. There we go.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to try and trump yours. It's impossible to hum, right? It's impossible to hum while holding your nose.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard that.
You try it?
Yeah, so it is impossible, by the way.
Is it? Have you tried it?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. You sort of like just do a like it turns into a grunt, doesn't it?
Yeah, horrendous. Probably not right. Probably not the best thing to do on a podcast.
yeah, well, it's funny. If it makes us laugh, that's the most important thing. It's the lesson of the podcast. It doesn't matter what the outcome is, as long as you're enjoying yourself.
For sure. Shouldn't have to.
Shouldn't bloody have to, to be honest.
Right, guys. That is that wraps up number four. Hope you enjoyed that, and we will look forward to catching you again next week on the Velocity Podcast.
See you soon, guys.